first having received commandment and instructions from the King's Majesty, we repaired to the said Lady Mary's house at Copthall in Essex on Friday last, being the 28th of this instant in the morning, where shortly after our coming, I, the Lord Chancellor, delivered His Majesty's letter unto her, which she received upon her knees, saying that for honour of the King's Majesty's hand, were which the said letters were signed, she would kiss the letters, and not for the matter contained within them. For the matter, said she, I take to proceed not from His Majesty, but from you of the council. In the reading of the letter, which she did read secretly to herself, she said these words in our hearing, Ah, good, Mr. Cecil took much pain here. When she had read the letters, we began to open the matter of our instructions unto her, and as I, the Lord Chancellor, began, she prayed me to be short, for, said she, I am not well at ease, and I will make you a short answer, notwithstanding that I have already declared and written my mind to His Majesty plainly with my own hand. After that, we told her at good length how the King's Majesty, having used all the gentle means and exhortations that he might to have reduced her to the rites of the religion and order of divine service set forth by the laws of the realm, and finding her nothing conformable, but still remaining in her former error, had resolved by the whole estate of his Privy Council, and with the consent of divers others of the nobility, that she should no longer use the private mass, nor any other divine service than is set for by the laws of the realm. And here we offered to show her the names of all those which were present at this consultation and resolution, but she said she cared not for any rehearsal of their names, for, said she, I know you all to be of one sort therein. We told her further that the King's Majesty's pleasure was we should also give straight charge to her chaplains, that none of them present to say any mass or other divine service than is set forth by the laws of the realm, and like charge to all her servants that none of them should present to hear any mass or other divine service as aforesaid. Hereunto her answer was that first she protested that to the King's Majesty she was, is, and ever will be His Majesty's most humble and most obedient subject and poor sister, and would most willingly obey all his commandments in anything, her conscience saved, yes, and would willingly and gladly suffer death to do His Majesty's good, but rather then she well agree to use any other service than which used at the death of the late king her father, she would lay her head on a block and suffer death. But, said she, I am unworthy to suffer death in so good a quarrel, when the King's Majesty, said she, shall come to such years that he may be able to judge things himself. His Majesty shall find me ready to obey his orders in religion. But now, in these years, although the good sweet king have more knowledge than any other of his years, yet it is not possible that he can be a judge in these things. For if ships were to be sent to the seas, or any other thing to be done touching the policy and government of the realm, I am sure you would not think his years yet able to consider what were to be done, and much less, said she, can he in these years discern what is fittest in matters of divinity. And if my chaplains do say no mass, I can hear none. No more can my poor servants, but as for my servants, I know it shall be against their wills, as it shall be against mine. For if they could come when it were said, they would hear it with good will. And as for my priests, they know what they have to do. The pain of your laws is but imprisonment for a short time. And if they will refuse to say mass, for fear of that imprisonment, they may do herein as they will. But none of your own service, said she, shall be used in my house, and if any be said in it, I will not tarry in the house.